Well, everybody, this is Nick Beat, and it's another Howl show. It's a spoken word show. It includes poetry of all kinds and types, and also any literary works that are current, au courant, as they say. And also, occasionally we spotlight music, Canadian music specifically. And I hope you have having a nice rainy night. And this is, we've got our first guest on the phone, American writer L. Michael King. Michael, how are you, my friend?
Very well, thank you. And with one small correction, my name is W. Michael King.
Ah, okay, W. Michael King. Sorry about that.
And I certainly appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your audience.
Well, we're very pleased to have you, Michael. Well, let's let people know who you are. Michael took a journey as an author. He began as a child. And he came out with a fantastic book called Atheists Can Get to Heaven, which we're going to be talking to, and about perspectives from the journey beyond the tunnel of light. W. Michael King began his journey as an author as a child with extraordinary precognitions, then out-of-body experience during a motorcycle accident as a teenager led him to slowly shift his allegiance from churchianity and God to accepting full responsibility for his own life and evolution. Much later on, he would die, this time from a massive hemorrhage. Finding himself in the oft-reported tunnel of light, he chose to see what was outside or beyond the structure. What did you see, Michael?
Well, what I used was my training in ordinary everyday life to find the courage to lose fear, to push myself beyond the boundaries that I thought could confine me. And what I experienced was a vastness of hope, an ability to thrive. And that ability, I might add, started from my journey in everyday life. If you look at society today, society is very based in fear. There are many fear-mongers. Fear-mongers for almost anything, the environment, jobs. Look at the number of people in these uncertain or negative economic times where they feel their jobs are threatened, and they've referenced themselves and their stature to their self-esteem in terms of their financial success or their marital success or their social position. Well, in order to surmount that and thrive in life, I decided that I should tell my story in the book Atheists Can Get to Heaven, because it helps people learn how to thrive. It's a message of hope that not just in clinical death or beyond physical life, one can thrive in a continuum. And the continuum starts with everyday life today in the real physical and evolves to the metaphysical. And to answer your question, what I found is a vastness of exploration, a vastness of energy that I believe is a continuum and as exemplified by my own experience, is a continuum that starts really in everyday life.
This is Nick Beat. We're listening to and talking to W. Michael King. He's an American writer, author of a book, Atheists Can Get to Heaven, Perspectives from the Journey Beyond the Tunnel of Light. Michael, if that was your, let's say, the conclusions that you drew from that experience, how come so many other people draw the conclusion that there is a God and a heaven, and this is the place where you're going to? And why did you have a different conclusion?
I don't think they draw that conclusion, actually, because I doubt very many have experienced it. I think they are reporting what they have been told to report. And if you think about the belief in God, if you think about the hope for heaven, it is a hope to surmount fear. It is a hope to have a better existence. It is the hope to have an eternal existence. Unfortunately, many religions and many those who follow deities follow emissaries of what claim to represent the deities, certainly not the deities themselves. And these I call belief systems. Well, the belief system can form many different ways. They can be formed in belief systems that the corporation will take care of you, or belief systems that the government will take care of you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It seems kind of limitless in terms of belief system. So by using the term atheist can get to heaven, I try to upset the paradigm that says belief systems are your protection. They are not. They're your impediment. They can hold you back. They don't give you a freedom of mind. So when people say, well, they've reached the conclusion that God will save them, why would a supernatural, all-powerful being need service to save little puny humans, by comparison? And
that's
the answer is, that's not a conclusion. It's a belief system.
What about your belief system? Isn't what you have a belief system?
Well, my belief system works with the implacable forces of nature, that we are creatures, if you want to call us creatures, of an evolved process where these forces of nature have assembled us from the stardust of the universe. We all, most physicists understand, and a lot of society understands, that we are assembled from the subatomic particle forces of the universe. So what does that give us? It gives us a universal origin. That means there is, if you want to call it a metaphorical God or an allegorical God, there is such a thing. It's called the universe that we are children of. We are constructed from these forces. And they are extremely energetic forces. And if you evolve to thrive in the physical in terms of losing belief systems that hold you back, where you can lead an ethical life based on morality of reason and logic, then you can use that and thrive in the supernatural, or what I actually think of as the metaphysical, which is just an extension of the physical.
This is Nick Beat, and you're listening to Howl, which is a spoken word show that comes on every Tuesday night from 10 to 11. We're talking to American writer, author W. Michael King, and about his book, Atheists Can Get to Heaven, Perspectives from the Journey Beyond the Tunnel of Light. And we're talking about... Well, we're talking about the book, but what prompted you, Michael, to write the book itself? What was the purpose behind that?
To show people from the example of opening up my own life's experience how they can thrive. Anyone who picks up this book and is willing to open their mind to all possibilities can learn a new hope for themselves. I remember when John Lennon wrote the song Imagine, and it was really a very beautiful song because mm-hmm. it asked the question, what would happen if these social forces, if these even religious forces that get in our way were to go away. I can make the argument that a good religious person who believes that strapping on a plastic explosive and blowing up themselves think they're doing service to God. Well, they're not doing service to God. They're doing service to a belief system that is getting in their way. Yeah. And those are false gods. Most any of us in the Western society will understand those are false gods, worshiping a belief system that is controlled by tyrants. Well, we have a lot of tyrants within ourselves. I wrote the book because I had tyrants within myself. I still have residuals of tyrants within myself, and the idea is that you can learn to thrive to lose these tyrants, to lose these human forces of angers, defense mechanisms of protections, and to not live in fear. I mean, the fear in society is, to me, prevalent today. And it's a very pernicious thing that gets in everyone's way where they don't thrive.
Michael, you're an American. You're from a country that is well known to be, at least until recently, deeply religious in a Judeo-Christian sense of the word. Certainly more than my country overall in general. How does that feel to be among the minority?
Well, it was a very, on the subject of fear, it was a very courageous point. And to challenge that thriving in the metaphysical state, in the supernatural state, to meet others evolved in that condition. Heaven is not a place. It is a state of being, an energetic state of being. It's not some magical thing that we quote-unquote go to. It is a situation that we evolve to live and thrive in as a state of being. So anyone who reads the book can get a sense of how this occurred in my own life. And I had to lose a lot of fear, I have to say, to open myself up to that extent, because there's some very delicate, sensitive, personal parts of this that I think most readers will identify with. I've had some people tell me that, oh, reading the book on an airplane, for example, that they will alternately laugh and sometimes sob and cry over what they read in terms of the experience. then learn how all of this comes together to prosper.
We are talking to W. Michael King on Sciutes HAL 89.5 FM on your dial. We're also, you can hear us worldwide on the internet at www.ciut.fm. And also, we're also on Rogers Cable TV, a channel 946, believe it or not. And you can also check out our archival shows on our archives at CIUT for about 24 hours. Check out the show. We're talking to W. Michael King. He's an American writer and author. It's about 13 minutes after 10 p.m. A little later in the show, we'll be talking to poet Liz Wirth, and later American writer Michael Wood. We'll be talking on the telephone to him. Michael, granted that, you know, these kind of things, so having a, you know, not an after-death experience, but a pre-death experience, it's purely subjective. Whatever you bring back to it, each person is bringing back what they already had, as you sort of, you were saying in a way, you bring back the belief system you already had in the first place. I'm just wondering what made you so singular, because most people don't say what you say. They don't.
I actually don't think I'm that singular. I think that a lot of people won't write or report about what they've experienced. The level of the journey that most people write about or have, that I've heard have been written about, has been the tunnel of light where people go to watch the doctors working on their body in an emergency room or an operating table or some such medical device. And they watch this from some elevated position, hovering over the body, for example. And others I've heard, and the reason I emphasize I've heard is because I've never read one of these books, but I've heard news clips or newspaper stories about them. Or they go to the so-called tunnel of light, which is the warm, embracing fog, and sometimes they meet others. And I decided during my journey, during clinical death, that the warm, embracing light fog was a trap, that there had to be more to death than simply being in this warm, cuddly, embracing realm of light. And I decided, because I had lost fear at that point, I used my logic, I used my reason, and I said, why not explore beyond this boundary? What happens if death and heaven and eternity can't be limited to this light fog? There's got to be more to that. So I decided to push out that boundary and see what was there. And well, what I found was the vastness of the universe, basically.
We're talking to W. Michael King on CIUT, 89.5 FM. I'm Nick Beat, and this is Howl Spoken Word Show, Tuesday nights, and hope you're enjoying the show. Michael, I love the quote at the back of the book. One of your readers says, spiritual attainment is a natural process, an extension of one's personal evolution derived through free and volitional choice using reason and trust in self. I just love the phrase, spiritual attainment is a natural process. In other words, it's not beyond the natural. It is a natural process.
Yes, it's a continuum.
Yeah. And everybody's actually doing that anyway. They're just not recognizing it?
Some recognize it and seek more and don't have the tools. In the book, I try to give them the tools or try to give them, through my example, the tools. Others become stuck because they don't know how to transcend some situation that they're stuck on. There are a lot of ways to get stuck, as I said. Often, the state of fear that people live in is the big thing that holds them back. A true religious believer, if they stood in front of a mirror and said, there is no God, I think a lot of them would be terrified that lightning would strike them because they've been conditioned to think of this flame-throwing, fire and brimstone, punitive religious structure that is anything but warm and embracing. I think that atheists who say, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, all in that death, that's it, it's over. They have a religious belief system, in effect. They have a blind belief system that is holding them back from opening their mind to the extension of more. It is a natural continuum. I mean, why should we be just these little chemical, impotent, organic blips that happen through humanity, that just live for a small period, fractional time, and then vanish. I mean, that seems like a huge waste of the energetic forces that assemble us. So the limitation of belief systems, I think, is one of those things, one of those properties of humanity that bind so many people into fear that they can't find those tools to get beyond the fear.
This is Nick Beat, and you're listening to Howl Radio. And we're on again, of course, next week. Will be my co-host, Nancy Bowles' show. We're talking to W. Michael King in a telephone interview. And we're talking about his book, Atheists Can Get to Heaven. Now, I've got to let people know, heaven's in, you know, quotes, of course.
Yeah.
Just to let people know that. This is not, you know, atheists can get into heaven, literally. We're talking about his book, and it's Perspectives from Journey Beyond the Tunnel of Light. Michael, you've got a chapter on exorcisms. A lot of people, have, of course, have been exposed to movies that it's almost no ambiguity at all. This is the devil. This is Satan. Why do people believe that evil is some kind of external reality that impinges on us at the most?
Go ahead, Michael. If you make it an external reality, then humans aren't so responsible for it, are they?
Yeah,
If you say the devil made me do it, or you say I did this to worship my God, that's why I strapped on this explosive and blew up World Trade Center or whatever it might be, and I did that in service to God. I mean, that's all in service to some emissary that claims to represent God that's really just controlling things. So I don't. If you don't accept that premise, if you say that I can thrive in my own being and lose the state of fear, the state of fear is what causes people to say, well, I have to do these things or I'm fearful I will not thrive, I will not get to heaven, I will be held back somehow. And many times they don't recognize that the very thing that they think is there to save them from their own fear is causing the fear.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, actually. We're talking to W. Michael King, and he's an American writer, author of Atheists Can Get to Heaven. Michael, by the way, just to cut to the chase as far as where can people get the book, is the book available in Canada?
It is available worldwide on Amazon.com.
It is. Okay, that's where people go.
And it has there is a website for the book, www.atheistscangettoheaven.com.
Michael, if you don't mind me asking, what were your parents, how did they raise you? What religion?
Well, I was raised a Catholic, and the book chapter on the exorcist, as a matter of fact, was because there were a series of events in my life at a relatively young age, about age 8, 9 years old, where my mother, who was empathic and to put it mildly, very perceptive, she and I could have telepathic or empathic communication across miles and miles of city. For example, there was this incident when I was a child about age 8 when I had hurt myself and she had left me with my uncle and he was rushing me out to the hospital because I'd cut myself with a knife. Just a kid fooling around, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And before we could get out to the hospital, the car came screeching up to the front of the house my father was driving because my mother experienced my pain and knew something was wrong. So she and I were very, very connected together. But in that period of time, I had had a couple of fairly significant precognitive experiences with her friend. And they were so real and so intense that my mother, a Catholic, decided that I might be possessed. And she really needed the reassurance from somebody that she recognized as an authority, that her son was not somehow possessed because these dire, intense, negative feelings about what could happen were scary to me as a child, and scary to her as a consequence just because of the magnitude of emotion that I had about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole story is revealed in the chapter, but the bottom line is she took me to the archdiocese, the archbishop's residence, where there was a bona fide Catholic exorcist. And basically what I found in this exorcist was just somebody who was essentially a very sensitive, perceptive, empathic person who use the cloisters of the church to do his work because it was acceptable. And you remember, my mother was born in 1904, so for somebody who had tendencies for extreme perception, I think that for her generation it would be a lot more difficult than it would be for mine, even though I'm pushing 70 years old.
That sounds about right. I know what you're talking about, actually. This is Nick Beat. We're talking to American writer, author, W. Michael King. And Michael has a book called Atheists Can Get to Heaven, in quotes, Perspectives from the Journey Beyond the Tunnel of Light. Michael, thank you so much for being on HAL. This has been absolutely fascinating conversation. The book is excellent. Michael, let's let people know where to get it again.
Well, the easiest way to review the book would be to go to www.atheistscangettoheaven.com. And in that website, there are reader reviews, and there's a link to Amazon, or you can simply go to Amazon and look for either my name, W. Michael King, and the book will come up, or atheistscangettoheaven.com, and the book will come up, and there are a number of reader reviews that will describe the book and its experiences, and the fact that it's not just about atheism, that is a paradigm trap, so to speak, to get people to open their awareness and consider that there is more.
Exactly. People shouldn't be afraid of it because, you know, whether you agree with the basic arguments or not, it's a fascinating book. Absolutely excellent read. Michael, thank you so much for being on HAL. It's been a pleasure, my friend.
And thank you so much for your kind words.
You're welcome, and I want to thank also Anne-Marie Petito for setting this up. This is Nick Beat. We're going to be back talking to local poet Liz Wirth and her Fascination Street series. Within a few minutes, we're just going to listen to some music from Tyranny of Love. This is a new track called I Want You, and we'll be back with more of HAL with Liz Wirth.